My name is Tim Caldwell, and I welcome you here today. It's really good to be here with you guys. And just so that you know, I'm not alone. Our staff here, I'll show you right in the red hair. That's Clint. He's our worship leader. He's going to be over our home gatherings and helps in just so many different ways. We have Jenny Jordan, who's going to be sharing time here and is also at West Little Rock, but she does everything creative, behind the scenes, event planning. She's a great party planner. And then we also have Justin Bilson, which, Justin, you're new to Fellowship, so show me where you're at. Let's give a big round of applause for Justin. Has been at Fellowship for 2 weeks now. And we'll be splitting time between here and West Little Rock, but for our small groups here, our D groups, that will start in January. All things D groups is going to be Justin. And so if you're thinking of leading one, transitioning to one, being in one, he's going to be the person that you're wanting to get to know. And so you'll get to hear from more. Looking forward to partnering with you, Justin. And so that, and also could introduce to you Bob Keltner, one of our elders. I could introduce to you like our task team leaders. I could introduce to you all the people with the shirts. The launch team, they're the ones who made this happen. They're the ones who were like greeting you in the parking lot as the X team. And you see, the thing about Fellowship is it's never really been about a personality on a stage, right? We are ones to just equip the church to be the church, to equip the saints for ministry. And so that's what this is here. So if you just look around the room right now, if you see anybody with one of these shirts, they're the ones who are kind of making a lot of this happen. And that's what we believe in here, is that we get to be the church. And so I love that about Fellowship and just continuing that legacy on. And so just so that you guys know, because some people have wondered and saying, tell me about home gatherings and all this. Let me just tell you the plan real quick for the fall. We're going to do this one time a month on a Sunday night. And so we'll gather for worship. And this is for anybody who wants to come and check out Fellowship Midtown. And so we'll do that, and we'll talk about our values just as Fellowship over these next times. And then we'll also have home gatherings. So there is community. There was a lot back in the lobby before this started, and a lot of chatter. It was actually so loud you almost couldn't hear. But we believe that maybe this isn't the best place for a community to develop. And so we're going to have home gatherings, which is gatherings of anywhere from 25 to 40 in some different homes all over the Midtown area that you can sign up for. This isn't signing up for life. This is for the fall so that we as a people can get to know each other. So if you think you would want to take a step in that, there's ways in the bulletin. But that's what we're doing so that we can figure out who we are and who's really in with us, so that when we actually open up to the community, that we can be a force and we can be a family and we can know what we are about. So that's the plan. And then I would like for you today is for us to just spend a little bit of time, if you have a Bible with you. If not, today you get to cheat because there's one in your pew. Just don't pull out the hymnal. But there's one Bible in there. If not, if you brought one, we're going to go to the beginning since we're at the beginning here. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 12 and we're going to look at Abram. You see, God had a plan, and just at the very ground level of this plan, he invites and gives an invitation for Abram to be a part of this plan. The fact that he would invite any of us to be a part of his plan is pretty amazing, and so we're just going to look at that, and we're going to see if we can find ourselves in this, and that maybe the Lord would be inviting us into something even today or this season of our life. So if you would, not in my honor, but if you would you stand up, and we're going to read the first 8 verses and just the call of Abram. Then the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Why? So that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Don't miss that. So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot was with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram and took his wife Sarai, and Lot and his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land and the place at Shechem to the oak of Moreh, and at the place of the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar to the Lord, and he appeared to him there. And from there he moved to the hill country from the east to Bethel and pitched his tent. And at Bethel on the west, there he built an altar of the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. God, we pray that you would honor your word today. In a story that's over 4,000 years old, would you make it fresh to us today? Would you give us instruction into maybe what you would invite us into? Give us ears to hear, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys can be seated. If I were to ask and categorize you in a couple different places, and if I were to ask if you were either a pioneer, you like starting new things, you like change, or if you're more of a settler, you like consistency, you like predictability. How many people in here are more settlers, right? Okay. How many of you are more pioneers? For everybody who didn't raise their hand, you're somewhere here in the middle, right? So listen, the people over here, you are the risk takers, the entrepreneurs. You don't mind a gamble. You don't mind taking risks. And actually, the more risky, the more exciting. When over here, the more risky, the higher the blood pressure, the higher the anxiety, right? This here, the more predictable, the more enjoyable it is. And just so that you know, I'm much more of a settler. I don't like surprise parties. I don't like not knowing what's coming up. That's where I live, and that's boring to you over here. That's just my makeup. And depending on whoever you are, we don't know exactly who Abram was, but we know in Genesis chapter 12, he became one of these right here, a pioneer. Because it's actually, and the Lord invited him into something. It was going to be a huge, huge step of faith. Here's what we're going to look at. Anytime we get an invitation, there's a cost, but there's also an upside. So let's go ahead in your bulletin. The very first thing is this. Abram is given an invitation to take a step of faith. An invitation to take a step of faith. Verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land. What land? That I'm going to show you. So not even, just a direction. I want you just to put this into 2018. Let's say you plan to move schools for your kids. You shut down your business. You put everything in a moving vehicle. And as the guy who's driving, let's just say you have enough that somebody's actually driving this vehicle for you, and he goes, hey, I don't know if I got the address. I must have missed that in our paperwork. Where are we going? He said, out west. Colorado, California, Seattle, Conway? I mean, what does west mean? You know what? How about we just drive, and when we get there, we'll know. That actually doesn't even sound like faith. It sounds more like foolishness, right? That sounds insane. Why would God ask something without him knowing the future? Like, what he's leaving, that's concrete. He knows what he's leaving, but to go to something that you don't even know without a sign or anything else, why would God ask him to do that? You see, when we don't know the future, really all we have to hang on to is trust. And maybe that's where God wants us to be in the first place. And so God asks Abram to trust. I read a story. The story is told of a man who goes to heaven, and he's standing at the pearly gates. St. Peter says, have you ever done anything honorable or notable? The guy thought for a moment, and he said, one time there was a biker gang, and they were harassing a young lady, and so I just stepped in and said, you guys need to back off, to no avail. So he said, I knew I had to get their attention or else they were going to continue to harass her. And so he said, I started yelling and I kicked over a couple of the bikes. I went to the meanest, ugliest dude, the leader of it. I kicked over his bike, I punched him, and I pulled out his nose ring. And I said, if you do this again, you're going to have to go through me. St. Peter said, that is impressive. When did that happen? The guy thought for a moment and he said, a couple minutes ago. Foolishness. Foolishness. Listen, this, if the Lord is not behind this, it would be nothing but foolishness. And some of the things that if it wasn't the Lord and he wasn't going to show up, he just left everything that was familiar to him for something that he heard or thought. Listen, the good news here, the good news is that Abraham obeyed and he goes. He didn't need a sign. I would have asked for a sign. I would have asked for something. The good news is he obeyed. The bad news of this story is that Abram isn't the only person that God asks to take a step of faith. If you have chosen to follow Jesus, you know that God is in the habit of asking us into places where the future is unknown. He's in the habit of asking us to take steps of faith where all we have is trust and all we have is Him. And let me just say this, if that's ever been you, if you've ever wondered, because you felt a call to do something or to be obedient, to step back in something, whatever it is, and you felt like it was the Lord, when you choose to take a step of faith or obedience, it can be very habit-forming. What we see in Abraham's life is he takes this very big step of faith, and so later on he has an even bigger step of faith, one that may cause his son his life. And he's able to take that step because many times taking steps of obedience and faith become habit-forming. And not that there's any less fear, but once you take one step of faith and the Lord comes through, and then you can take another step of faith and another step of faith. But listen, in the same way, when you say no, the next time it becomes a little easier to disregard that voice and to say no again and to say no again until you don't even hear the voice anymore. Just know these little steps of obedience, big steps of obedience, would lead to other steps in the life of Abram. And the good news is that he said yes. Everybody say, an invitation to take a step of faith. That's the very first invitation that we have here. Pretty exciting. Second one is an invitation to leave the familiar and ideal. An invitation to leave the familiar and the ideal. We don't know much about Abram's life before this, except that he was established. He was wealthy. Actually, when he goes on a little bit in the future, even the open range cannot hold all of his possessions and lots. He has enough. So he has a vocation and relationships and wealth, and he has all these things. I don't know if there was anything wrong with that, but the Lord asks him to leave all that which is familiar. He says, like, in three different ways, not only leave your country, but leave your kindred and your father's house. And I don't know if it's because he was putting his faith in himself or he was comfortable. Or listen, maybe it wasn't even about him. Maybe it was he was good and happy in his life here and God needed him somewhere else because he was going to be a blessing to somebody else. So maybe it wasn't just about him and God disrupting that. But whatever it is, God calls him out that which is familiar. And I just know if that's ever happened to you, you're not the only one. God's in the habit of doing that because it also, again, brings trust. Brings dependence, and he asked for that. But he also asked not only the familiar and the ideal, and I promise you, we're going to get to the good news here in just a minute of the good part of the invitation, but here is the cost still. It's not only step of faith, it's not only invitation to leave which is familiar, but also that which is ideal. Did you guys catch in the story when you were listening how old Abram was? He was 75 years old. Now, for anybody in this room, I'm not saying that's old, right? It's just not ideal to, like, pick up and start a new chapter in life, right? And to move your whole family. I don't see many people who are 75, like, training for American Ninja Warrior or The Amazing Race or going back to school. That's just not that. That's the ideal time to retire. Like, you've worked a really, really, really long time and you get to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Is that really a time to take a huge step of faith, one that could have huge ramifications? But if you were to ask that, when really is ideal? Because for some of you in this room, you go, man, I'm just like too young. I mean, I'm a student or I'm a college student. Like, it's just not ideal right now. I mean, I'm just trying to fit in. I'm just trying to be a part. Or maybe it is that you just got out of school. And so finally, you've been paying into school and you're still paying school loans for a really long time. But you're finally getting some kickbacks and some money back. And you're like, this is time for some me time. I mean, I can just relax and I can have a hobby and I can be. It's not ideal. If you have kids, some of you are like, psh, out of the question. Maybe your preschoolers just graduated from preschool and they're elementary and they go to school and you can finally regain a hobby or something. It's not ideal. I think everybody in this room could say the time is not ideal, including Abram. But when's the ideal time to say yes to the Lord? It's whenever he calls. When is the ideal time to say yes to the Lord? It's whenever he invites and whenever he calls. That's the ideal time. And I'm so glad that Abram said yes. The correct answer for that, anytime the Lord calls, we'll say it together. Say yes. Yes. Everybody say it again. Say yes. Yes. It is the appropriate answer. It's the right answer. Men, when your wife buys a new dress or your girlfriend, and she says, look, I got a new dress. Do you like it? The only appropriate answer at that point to say, fellas, is what? Yes. She's bought it. She's wore it. It's good. She's gotten compliments. You better Step up to the plate. It's yes. And anytime the Lord would ask us for something, it's yes. It is the appropriate time. So those are the costs here. It's a step of faith, which I'm not at all saying is easy. It's an invitation, at least for him, to leave that which is ideal and familiar. But here's some of the good things about it. It is an invitation from the Lord to join him in his work. It's an invitation from the Lord to join him in his work. The story begins in 12, verse 1. And God said to Abram, he said to Abram, to be able to hear from the Lord. I know that there's some people here and you've either met some pretty prestigious people or you've hung out with some pretty prestigious people. There's something about if there's somebody who's well-known or somebody who has clout or leadership or who's older than you or who runs the company and they take a liking to you or they, hey, I want to mentor you or, hey, come be a part. There's something about that that just brings approval and esteem. It doesn't matter if you're in elementary school or if you are a senior adult. There's something about just being known, and especially if the person is sharp, if they're valuable, if they're important or popular. There's some type of esteem that comes from that. And listen, this invitation comes from the Lord. Anytime you get an invitation from the King of the universe, you should feel honored, privileged, chosen, selected, whatever the word you want to say it is. Listen, how many people are on the planet right now? In the billions, just say it. 7 billion people on the planet, right? Did you know that 1 billion have never even heard the precious name of Jesus? Many other have heard it and have no interest or desire at all to pursue or even think or even believe. And so the fact that you would be here in a church service, being able to hear the word and maybe what God is saying to you, or even hear a little bit of an invitation that maybe he wants you to be a part of something, consider yourself honored. This comes from the Lord. And the only reason I say that is there's sometimes I feel like maybe the Lord's like asking me to do something or take a step of faith. And I'm like, oh, like cloud it out or get real busy so that maybe you don't hear it. As if it's like my annoying neighbor or your in-laws or some other voice. That, like, this is the prestigious voice of the Lord who rules the universe, who has a purpose for your life. So if he calls and I feel like he's asking me to do something, why would I not be obedient to that? I don't know if you give him the right place that he has in his voice. I just want you to know this is the invitation from the Lord, and if any time you hear and he calls you, even if it's a step of faith, that you would feel esteemed. We would look at it as value because he has a purpose for you. It's an invitation from the Lord. And then it was this, I said, to join him in his work. I hear a lot of people saying, I'm gonna go do something good for God. I don't know if God ever says go do something for him. He asks us to join him in his work. So I don't know how you picture the Lord if up in heaven in an easy recliner with coffee as if he's sending us off, hey, go do something good. Go make yourself busy. Actually, the Lord is working and he just invites us into his work. It's the same way when I know how to fix the flapper on a toilet, but if I invite my son in, is that because it makes it more efficient when he helps? Does it make the process any quicker? No. Is it any better? No. But I invite him in because I want to work with him, because I want this relationship with him, right? The Lord doesn't need any of us, but he calls us in to join his work. And anytime that he would ask you to be a part of his work, it should be an honor. It should be a privilege. And I want you to know that just because this whole Midtown thing, this wasn't an idea or some business strategy. This wasn't me having a midlife crisis at 40. This isn't Mark saying, hey, go. Like, we really felt like the Lord started stirring our hearts, saying that there's something happening here. And then the very first day we announced and Clarissa came up and said, we're moving. And Myron goes, we're praying about it, right? They were ready. The Blairs, they came up and they're like, we listened to a sermon from 1994 last week and we felt like the Lord was already telling us. And all of these people going, the Lord is already working. So what I want you to know is that if you join in his work, wherever that is, He's already working. You're not working for him. You're joining the work with him. That's why over and over when God tells Abram, he says, go to the land, I will show you. And when he was there, God was there speaking to him. And God appeared to him all along the way. And God was with him along the way. God didn't just send him off and say, go make yourself busy. He was with them. The Great Commission. God sends us out and he says, and I am with you. It's working with him. So think about this for just a moment. If you've ever been a part of a team at work or in sports or anything else, and maybe you weren't the A player, but you were with an A player, so the team wins. What is it when we join the greatest of all time, the greatest of all time in his work? Then we get to accomplish more than we ever could on our own self, just doing something for God. I don't know if there's any basketball fans in here. When I went into high school, I was 5 foot, so I was not your prime candidate for basketball. But I enjoyed the game, and it's what my dad and I used to watch when I was little. But it was reported that one of the greatest of all times, Michael Jordan, that there was a stint where he had several games scoring 60-something points. There was one game he actually scored 67 points. And on that same game, one of the rookies who was sitting on the bench finally got his first time to play. And so if you can just imagine, the scoreboard has already been run, right? There's nobody here left in the stadium. They're just running out the last couple minutes. This rookie gets out, and he is jonesing to play in the NBA, right? So when everybody should just be, like, taking the clock out, right, he goes and steals the ball, and, you know, and he slams it, and he's just, like, thrilled. And so then the buzzer goes off. He scored his 2 points. And somebody, after they interview the main event, Michael Jordan, they go and interview this rookie, and they say, man, as a rookie, what does it feel like to play with the greatest of all time? And the guy, a lot of audacity, almost looked as if he was offended. He goes, man, we're a team. You see, Michael and I, we scored 69 points. We're a team. Just a vision real quick. What if we were to join the greatest of all time in his work? Did you know that where you're unqualified, or you're not good enough, or you don't have the gifting, when you join him, can you imagine what he wants to do in this city? You're joining him in his work. That's what the invitation is, wherever that is. You're joining him in his work because he's at work. I want you to feel privileged, esteemed anytime you feel his call and to be a part of his work. I want to sign up for that. It's an invitation from the Lord, from the greatest of all time, to join him in his work. The very last thing I just want to say is it's an invitation to be a blessing. The last thing is this: it's an invitation to be a blessing. And so I want the verse on the screen says, and I'll make you a great nation, and I'm going to bless you and make your name great. Why? That's so that, if you even underline that in your Bible, if it's yours, so that you will be a blessing. So that, why? Say it with me. You will be a blessing. And I'm going to bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. But in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Listen, this is because Abram was the head of it, was the beginning of the Israelites, God's people, and his direct descendant. So great, 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 great times, like 28 grandson would be the son of God, his genealogy, whose salvation is found in no one else. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ will be saved. So that's how all the families of the earth will be blessed. Anybody who wants to have a relationship with him because of what Jesus did. And that's all through Abram, who would soon become Abraham. But listen, why did God do all this work in his life? So that he would be a blessing. So God was doing something in Abram, but maybe it wasn't just all about Abram. Maybe it was all these other people he was calling him to. Maybe it was about generations who were to come, who he didn't even know, he didn't even get to see. God had a plan not just for Abram, but for a whole lot of others. And that's what he invites us into today. So some of you may have thought, man, God was kind of hard on Abram. He made him do all these hard things, make these huge sacrifices. But if it wasn't just about him, then it all had a purpose. I would say this, because we don't know if Abram had a really good life or not. He had a stable one, right? A constant one. And God messed maybe all that up, not just because he likes messing things up, but because there was more work to be done. And I'll just say this. Some of you in here, your life right now is really, really good. Like, you are very blessed. Maybe you have your 2.5 children, your dog, above the median income, or you're successful in your career. Whatever it is, statistically, you are great. Just want to say this, be blessed. But God doesn't bless you just for you. And sometimes when we're doing so good, we're like, no, maybe everybody else isn't, but we're good. God blesses you that you would be a blessing to others. So don't ever let comfort or that which the Lord has blessed you with be just for you. God blesses you so that you would be a blessing. I remember at the very first of this journey, I was eating lunch with a couple, and they're doing great in their career, they're doing great in their marriage, and so I was just figuring out some about them, and I was like, well, how are you guys like growing right now in your relationship with the Lord? And they're like, yeah, we are, and they were reading books, and it was great, and I was like, awesome. I was like, well, what about y'all's community? And they're like, it's awesome. We don't have kids yet, so we can hang out all the time, and so that's going great. And I sat there for a second, and I was like, well, why would you want to jeopardize and mess that up to come to Fellowship Midtown? And I was kind of joking about it, but the guy, without even thinking of it, he goes, you know what, if this life was all about my happiness, we probably wouldn't even be having lunch right now. But I think maybe the Lord is in this, and I think that more people could come to know Jesus because of it, so I'm interested. If this whole life was only about my happiness, we wouldn't even be having a conversation. I'm so glad that the Lord disrupted Abram's life because he had so much more in store. And his kids and generations to come and 4,000 years later, even us in this room are inspired by his story. We had a picture of Jesus in Genesis 22. There's so much that he gave because of his step of obedience, and so many other people were blessed because of it. So I would just say this, if you are doing really, really good right now, just use what you have as a blessing to bless others. If your story is just the opposite, maybe you're carrying more pain than any person's supposed to carry, but you're here and the Lord has been near, then don't let that be an obstruction from ministering to others, because there's other people. You've been blessed, even though you've been in pain, to be a blessing to others, and others are going through extreme pain as well. God has done things in you so that you could also share those with others, if that makes sense at all. Don't let your pain or your prosperity keep you from his plan and what he wants to do with others, because he blesses you so that you would bless another. Let me just finish with an illustration. We have a partnership with Guatemala, and our teams have been going for a long time. One of my first joys when I first was student pastor, I got to have on my team Mark Henry and Hunter Henry, which was not intimidated for your first year as a youth pastor, right? To have both of those guys there. But one of the things they did a great ministry. And there was this place, this meat market down, so the poorest of the poor, where they would basically dump all the meat that didn't make it to the butcher, and these people would process it, families from like young to old. It was poor, the poorest of the poor. And those people would come to the Opportunity Center to get food and medical care and everything else like that. And there's a couple of times that I would notice a couple of these kids from Panito, from this meat market, and as they would take stuff, they would always have a little sack or something, and they would... I thought maybe at first they were just stealing stuff, but basically what they do, anything they got, any sandwich or whatever else, they would always just take half, and they would save half. You see, even though they were of great need, they would take only what they needed, and they knew there were people back home who needed. So anytime they received, they were thinking about who they could give it to. One of the things I love about Abram, what God calls us to do today, is that he said he did all these things for Abram. He blessed him so that he would be a blessing. That which we've received, we have to be about giving. And at Fellowship, there's people here in this room who have walked with Jesus for 20 and 30 and 40 years. You have something to give. There's some of you in this room with incredible gifts and talents, and when you start a new campus, we need all of your gifts at the table. But the Lord blesses you, why? So that you would be a blessing. Amen. Wherever the location, like, I'm in. Like, he has given me more than I could have ever asked for. If he can use that for others, I'm in. So I want to ask you today, what does that mean for you? Can I just say one thing real quick? I gave this, I hope that you would be inspired by Abram. This was not so that we could play some music at the end and you would sign up for Midtown, right? That's not the only call here today. What would the Lord be asking of you today? I will ask, I'm going to ask the band, because they're going to close with a song and we're going to do offering and stuff like that, but would you pull out this bulletin for just a moment? Like, I've talked enough. I would just ask for what's one or two things that you would take away today, just from the message? Let's just put Midtown aside for just a moment. Is there anything that maybe that the Lord was speaking to you, encouraging you? Maybe you felt alone in the steps of faith that you have to be taking. Maybe you thought that you needed to leave that which is familiar or ideal, and you're thinking, that's crazy. And then you read about Abram, and you're like, okay, that's not crazy at all. Maybe some of you in here just needed to hear it's an invitation from the Lord to join him in his work. It's an invitation to be a blessing. I'm going to give you the gift of just a couple minutes to process what you learned here tonight, or if anything that was said, but look at the very bottom of this. It's kind of small, but let me just give you a couple ways. It says, I'm new to fellowship and would like more information about Fellowship Midtown. If you want to put that, we'll contact you. The second one says this, I will commit to being a part of the Midtown campus. Some of you knew last week, great, put that down. Some of you, like, we're not asking you to make a decision today, but over these months, we need to know who's in, who's serving with us, who's a part of the family, so that we can receive the people of our city, that we can minister, we can be a force together to bless others. So just know, if you would start praying, God, where is my place of service? You don't have to put that today unless you are already ready. Just, we're going to ask that you would start praying about that so you would be fully in somewhere. And then the third thing, it says, what is God calling me to or teaching me to today? I acknowledge this. Maybe what God's telling you about today has nothing to do with the church. Great, great. God wasn't talking about Abram about a new church campus. He's talking about his life and his example and his legacy and how he was going to be a part of God's plan. If God's calling you something today or teaching you, sometimes it's easy to just dismiss that. Maybe in just being a part of a conversation, starting one, you would just want to write down what that is, tear that off, and put it in the offering plate. It's just a way that we would communicate and know. Maybe it is even the person who came with you. They'd be like, hey, Dad, hey, Mama, hey, bro, would you write on the card? And it just holds a little bit of accountability. But if God's calling you to something today, that's an amazing thing. Or maybe it is that you and just figured that most people here are from fellowship, but I remember being in a service and I knew about the man upstairs. I didn't have a relationship with him and I just wanted that. If you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus, you can do that. Or even if you have a request for our prayer team, you can put that. That's just a way to communicate with us. The offering will come after I pray. You can put any of those comments in so we can follow up with you. But can I just give you like another minute before I pray? Think through the one thing, not that I said, that maybe that you think that God's wanting to teach you tonight or show you. And I'll give you a minute if you want to write some things down. I'll pray and then we'll close out with a song. You can have a moment. God, what a privilege and honor if ever the King of the universe would invite us to anything. God, would you let our answers be yes? However hard that step of faith is, whatever that's leaving behind, would you let us just be people who would say yes before you ever ask the question, that our hearts posture and our answer would be yes, and that we would get to be able to be a part of your work. So Lord, whatever you want to do in us, whether from the youngest person in the room to the oldest, you just have your way in us. Lord, we give this offering to you that you would use it for your kingdom's sake. Any responses that we would have and just even getting more information, would you, Lord, would you just continue your work in us for your glory? And God, would you do an incredible work in our people here that that people outside of this room would be blessed, that people outside of here would be blessed. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.